You're listening to sermons from Bethany Baptist Church. For more information, visit us at bethanychicago.org.
This morning, as always, I'm here. It's such a privilege to share God's word. And I'm going to be talking about abiding in Christ and what that means. But before that, I want to let you know that to abide in Christ, which is known as the doctrine of perseverance of the saints, so every believer will automatically abide in Christ, right? Just because of the faith he has in Jesus Christ, because of what Jesus Christ did. So before I start talking about abiding in Christ, I want to let you know that this is not a sermon about things to do to abide in Christ, but actually it's things that happen when you are abiding in Christ. So basically, the goal today is that you can see some signs, some lights that are going to let you know or help you to see how is your spiritual life. And in order to improve, what you have to do is to run to Christ, right? And this could mean many things. You have to apply many things to your life. You have to do some things in your life in order to live in dependence of Jesus Christ. But everything will start in the life we have in Jesus Christ. So let me give you an illustration of what is Christian life. So in the Second World War, an aviator left his base in order to attack a certain place. Already far from the earth, he noticed that a rat knot one of the ropes of his parachute. So the aviator, instead of returning to the ground, knowing how the rats have low resistance to heights, he raised his plane until the rat died as a result of the elevation. So to us, if the rats of emptiness are caught in the strings of our communion with God, this implies that we fly low, very low, so low that the environment is taking us to adapt bad habits in our lives. So we have to fly high. But if we fly at a considerable height as a very natural thing, the rats of the vices will stop hurting us because they will explode because of the height, which is our communion with God through Jesus Christ. So likewise, instead of fighting with sins or destructive vices in our lives, we need to cling to Christ as the Colossians did it. And in that way, we will naturally reject sin, because the desire of the Spirit is against flesh, and the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. Thus, the best way to fight against sin is to cling to Christ, because one of the benefits of loving Christ is the hate for sin. So if you are struggling with some sin in your life, I want to let you know that you are not alone. Just do not give up. Cling to Christ and find in Him timely help. So today we're going to learn from the Colossians, their church, example to follow, example to also evaluate our own Christian life. So let's see some of the verses we already read. Colossians chapter 1 and verses 1 through 8. Says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of these you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. So that's the verses for today. So the context is going to help us to justify that the church is an example for us, right? Because Apostle Paul knew about the church, so all the context is going to help us. But the main points are going to come from verses 4 and 5. I think that we just studying these little verses, we could have several weeks just studying. But from verses 4 and 5, we're gonna see three main points. So Paul, as you saw in the verses, is happy, is joyful, he's grateful to see that this group of Christians in the Colossians were showing evidence of their faith in Christ. This leads me also to think that Apostle Paul, if he was happy for this church, he also could be upset if the opposite will be happening in the church. That means if the church will have a misbehavior, if they were living in sin, as you can read also that happened in the church in Corinth. So Apostle Paul was sending very rough words to them as an exhortation because of the sin in the church. So this group of believers could also bring to Apostle Paul sadness, but that wasn't the case. They brought to him happiness and gratefulness. So I'm saying this because that means that every church could be two kinds of churches, right? One church that is showing evidence of their faith, and a church that is showing that they have a weak faith, or probably they're not reflecting Christ. And saying that, what we have to do is look at ourselves and think what kind of church we are, right? So let's especially focus on verses 4 and 5 and see three evidences that the church, the Colossians were showing that they were abiding in Christ. So three signs of abiding in Christ. I'm going to mention them. So the Christian who abides in Christ has an evident faith. So that the first one and appears in verse 4 in the first part. In the second part of verse 4, we're going to learn that the Christian who abides in Christ shows love for his neighbor. So shows love for his neighbor. And in verse 5, we're going to learn that the Christian who abides in Christ remembers the gospel. Okay, so we have faith, we have love, and we have the gospel. Those three elements we're gonna see today in this particular church, and we're gonna evaluate ourselves not just as a group but also as individuals, right? Because we have to see our own heart and examine our own heart. So, what is the evidence that the Christian remains in Christ? Well, as I told you before, I'm gonna repeat this: there are not acts that you can do to persevere in Christ. The acts are just going to reflect that you are in Jesus Christ. Then these elements are just going to be a tool to examine ourselves if we are clinging to Christ. So let's talk about the first one. The Christian who abides in Christ has an evident faith. So Paul received good news about the faith of the Colossians. It was evident to all that the faith that the Colossians had was not only in words, but that with their actions they were demonstrating full certainty of the call received by the Lord. They trusted Christ. Christ Jesus as their Savior. They didn't see another Savior, but just Christ Jesus. And the way they were living also reflected. Faith is related to a belief in something that we can't see, right? So let's take this example. Some may have faith in their baseball team. Could be the White Sox or the Cubs, right? Or a different one. Is going to win the World Series, right? Some of you may have an opinion about that. But that is faith because you still do not see your team raising the trophy, right? You just believe it because you trust your team. You trust the players. And you say, I believe we're going to win the World Series this year. So, at some point, your team loses a game. And they lost, and you say, no, I still believe in my team because they lost again, but it doesn't matter. I know they will be world champion because they will win the following games. And besides, you go and buy tickets to see the games and support until the end. And all those things are clear evidence of your faith in your team. I'm not encouraging you to have faith in your team, but it's just a illustration. So you see, you believe in your team, so you do things that show that you believe in your team. As Christians, our faith is the assurance that Christ is our Savior, and your behavior is evidence of your faith. So that what makes you have assurance is not your behavior, but what Christ did for you in the cross. So again, remember, salvation comes through faith in Jesus, but the evidence of your faith are your works. So let's talk a little bit more about this first point. How is this faith? Because there are different kinds of faith, right? So you can have faith in your team, or you can have faith in yourself, or you can have faith in Christ. But the faith of the Colossians is this. His faith was notorious to those around them. So everybody could see that they were believers. In the beginning of verse 4 says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, so Apostle Paul is saying, we heard about your faith. So Paul says, he received reports about the faith of the Colossians, and Paul did not see with his own eyes the behavior of the Colossians, but the good testimony of this group of people was well known. So Paul knew about them, of the good deeds of this group of Christians, and of how they remain in the faith that they have been taught in Christ Jesus. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 15, the angel of the church in Laodicea says, I know your works. You are neither cold or hot, nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So in this case, in Revelation chapter 3, we also see how the works of the believer that are notorious to all men reflect their spiritual condition. The works reflect the spiritual condition of man and woman. So for me, the cold could be the one who does not do good, but walks in impiety. The hot one could be the one who has the fire of the Spirit burning in his heart, and he acts with righteousness. So in this case, the Colossians were the group of people who was hot, who walked with the fire of the Holy Spirit burning in their hearts, and all they did show a fervent faith in Christ. So an evidence that we are walking in Christ is that our works of faith are notorious to all men. So think about this. Your co-workers, your neighbors, your friends, or the people closer to you, your family. If they are surprised that you are a Christian and they say, are you really a Christian? I didn't know. Then we should be ashamed. And we need to evaluate our spiritual condition and see if we are really believing and having faith in Jesus Christ. So the question will be, does your whole family know that you are a Christian? Or did you witness to them? Or at least you try? Do your neighbors know that you are a Christian? Do your co-workers see that character, the character of Christ is in you? The testimony of the faith of the Colossians also extends beyond their borders. Okay, so certainly the Apostle Paul was not in Colossians, but when they walked steadfast in their faith, the testimony of the good works of the Colossians extended beyond their geographical limits. It is not that this group of Christians wanted to be recognized around the world, but that their good testimony honored the name of Christ and gave glory to God. So there was also a man who surprised everyone with his personal testimony in the Bible. And I like this story in Mark chapter 5. Jesus released a man who was possessed by a legion of demons. After this gathering began to publish in several cities how great things Jesus had done with him, everyone marveled. But this citizen of Gadara was not looking to be recognized, but to obey the Lord Jesus when he said to him, Jesus said to this man, go to your house, to yours, and tell them how great things the Lord has done for you, and how he has had mercy on you. And the gathering did not limit himself to telling those of his house, but he published the name of Jesus everywhere. So he used to live in Gadara. Gadara is close to Decapolis, which is actually 10 cities. I don't know how many of those cities he went, but the commandment of the Lord was go to your family. And he went to all these cities to publish what the Lord had done for him. So his testimony, his faith went beyond the borders of the place he lived. So the question for us will be, how far has your testimony arrived? How many have known Christ for that testimony? We must have a passionate heart to share the gospel. And wherever the Lord is leading us to go, we should share the gospel. Our call is to share the gospel beyond our boundaries. We have to get out of our comfort zone and share to the ends of the earth. And there are different ways and different talents we have, but definitely we have the challenge and we have the model of the Colossians, right? Okay, so we talk about an evident faith. So if you are abiding in Christ, you have an evident faith. But number two, if you abide in Christ, also you show love to your neighbors. You show love to your neighbors. Chapter 4 and the second part of chapter 4 says, after the faith, says, and of the love that you have for all the saints. Of the love that you have for all the saints. So one of the ways in which the faith of the Colossians was manifest was through their love for their brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. So evident love is reflected not only in a natural affection, which is feelings, right? You say, I love because I feel something inside of me for others, but also for the coverage of the needs that the neighbor has. And that's exactly what the Colossians did, showing a genuine love for their holy brothers in Christ Jesus. So how is this love? Let's describe the love of the Colossians, and we can see it in ourselves. So this love was consistent. Okay, that's the first thing, because the verse says, and the love that you have. So that's present tense and is continually going. Didn't say you had or you will have, but says you have. So Apostle knew that this love they were having was consistent all the time. It wasn't just last Sunday or last week or last year, because I did something for somebody. But it's a consistent love. It's unconditional. It's consistent. And also, the Lord Jesus Christ is giving us a commandment. And he's saying, you must love. You love your neighbors. Right? It's a commandment. It's not a feeling. You have to feel love for your neighbor. But the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, this is the golden rule. You have to love. And Jesus Christ said, love one another. And that demands a consistent practice of the exercise of love. Those who like to walk, run, or go to the gym, to be successful in that, you need to be consistent. So, to love, it's also a matter of consistency. It is not possible for the believer in Jesus Christ to say that something you did in the past shows your love. But you have to be active in love every day. So the question will be, when was the last time you showed your love to your brother in Christ? Think about that. When did you show love to your brother in Christ? Not that you feel it, that you show to the other person. So the other person can say, my brother or my sister in Christ, love me. If you are not helping in the spiritual growth of your brothers, if you are not giving your money or your time to those who are in need, if you are despising your brother, it is time to evaluate your faith and ask yourself about your faith in Jesus Christ. So, this sermon is actually to make you aware of what is going on in your heart, and also make me aware, what to examine myself and think, where am I at in my faith? It's not about how many works I'm doing, but it's how much I'm believing in Jesus Christ. Do I believe? Do I am waiting for him? For he who abides in Christ works for the good of his brothers constantly. He who abides in Christ has love for others and shows that love invisible works, acts of kindness towards others. So we say that love is a love that is consistent. So all the time that love is right there. But also, it's a love that do not exclude anybody. So we are sometimes picky, right? And we say, I'm going to love that one. So I fulfill the commandment. I'm loving my brothers. But the verse 4 says, and of the love that you have for whom? For all the saints. For all. Didn't say some of them, but all of them. And obviously, we share different aspects of our life with people, and also time of quality with some. And that's normal. Even Jesus Christ has his closer disciples. But he didn't exclude anybody. He loved all of them. So there is a parable that also teaches a little bit about this love for everybody. The parable of the Good Samaritan teaches us clearly that we should not exclude anyone but love everyone, as Jesus did. The Jews believed that they were the only ones who will find salvation through the coming of the Messiah. And for that wrong thinking, they despised people from other nations. But through this parable, Jesus Christ taught that the neighbor is not only those who we prefer, but every man. So a Samaritan helped a half-dead Jew that was laying in the middle of the street. While the religious Jews were walking by, and they did not help his brother that was dying in the street. So Samaritans and Jews didn't talk to each other. They were enemies. But in this parable that Jesus told, he reveals that we must still love those who consider us our enemies. So sometimes the same thing happens in the church. We ignore, as Christians, we ignore the poor, the hungry, the annoying, more often, or the ones that are going through emotional pain, or those that are non-Christians or do not believe as we believe. And while that is happening in the church, the non-believers, they extend their hands to help without favoritism. We're not going to talk about their motivation, but they help people. But the love of Christ, the genuine love, should lead you to love, to lead us to love our neighbors without excluding anyone. Loving and remaining in Christ will lead us to love and show our love at all times. So we talk about faith that is evident to everyone. We talk about love that is consistent and do not exclude anybody. Now, number three, the Christian who abides in Christ, remembers the gospel. Chapter 1, verse 5 says, because of the hope, so all of that was happening, faith and love was happening because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of these you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel. So the Colossians were reminding to themselves the gospel again and again. So that's why we're acting in faith that was evident. That's why we're acting in love that helped everybody. Because the Colossians kept in mind their hope laid up in heaven for them. They remembered the gospel that had been preached to them and remembered it every day. So when the gospel was preached to them, Apostle Paul probably taught them that they were death. They had a spiritual death. That Christ came for them to save them. And before Christ, they were dead. And now with Christ, they have life. So the hope of the Colossians was set on the promises of the Lord. They firmly believed the words of Jesus and what he had done for them. So we as Christians also need to remember and be amazed every day of our lives, for what Jesus has done for us. So let's talk about this gospel. Number one, they listen and receive the gospel. And this is very important for us to understand also when we share the gospel to others, that life begins when people listen, receive, and walk in the gospel. Right? The gospel came to them one day, to the Colossians, and since that day, they kept growing in the knowledge of the gospel that they believe. It is impossible, listen to this, it is impossible for anyone to be saved unless it is for the preaching of the gospel. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 shows us that faith is by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There is no other way established for man to receive the gospel, just by the word of God. It is good for us to remember the gospel, but on top of that, also we have to remember the day in which the Lord rescued us. That's wonderful. So remember how you were before God before believing the gospel. Where were you before believing the gospel? You were dead. You were lost. You were in darkness. And after believing the gospel, you have life, eternal life. You are in light. And you are aware of the existence of a Savior. So the Colossians receive this gospel and they remember the gospel. So we as church, we have to do the same. But the second thing says about the gospel is that they have hope. So they have full confidence on the promises of the Lord. So hope means they were sure about the promises of the Lord and they were waiting for that promise. So they were living every day in such a way that was showing everyone that they believe in the promises of the Lord. The Colossians had full assurance of the Lord's promises to them. They promised The promise of an eternal life in a special place prepared by the Lord Jesus for them. But that's just only one part of the promises, because even in the same letter in Colossians, in the chapters coming, Apostle Paul continued to instruct and teach about everything the Lord has done, he does and will do for his people. So they are thinking about the Jesus Christ in the past, in the present, and also in the future. So later on in this letter, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, he says, Apostle Paul says, "Set your sight on the things above, not on the things of the earth." And that was exactly what the Colossians were doing, putting their eyes on the Lord above the earth. So they had hope. They saw the future. They believe in the promises of the Lord. So how much are we seeing to the future? How much are we looking forward to the fulfillment of the promises of the Lord? And we have to encourage one another with those words. This gospel and this church is to be reminded between us two. So we have to encourage one another. When a person is like sad or discouraged, a good way to encourage that person is to remind the gospel. So we have seen that Christians who abide in Christ are those who have faith, who is evident to all men, that shows love to others, and that remembers the gospel every day. And I'm sure there are many other evidences that will serve to prove that we are in Christ, but these three are good for us to examine our hearts. And the goal here is not to see in the other person, right? It's not to say, oh, so now I'm going to use these three tools to see if my brother here is staying in faith. But no, it's for myself, because you are the one who's receiving the word and the Lord is talking to you. And you are the one who can make something about it. So if the people around you do not know that you are a Christian, it is time to ask God for help in making your faith in Christ evident to all. If you are not feeling a genuine and active love that is obvious to your brothers and sisters and to everybody, it's time to make some changes and to put into practice this commandment of love to your neighbor and to your brothers and sisters. But this is just through clinging to Christ. And finally, every day of our life of Christians, we have to remember that Christ died for us on the cross, that he rose again, and we have to pray with gratitude towards God for what he had done for us. So this morning and this week, I think, is a good week to reflect and examine our hearts and see if we are abiding in Christ and we have the love of Jesus Christ. You always, if you are honest with yourself, if you are honest with the Lord, he's going to show you. He's going to show you where are you and what areas you can grow. So let's pray. Thank you, God, for this morning and for this wonderful example of the Colossians and how this church was abiding in Christ Jesus. And today we have this challenge as individuals and as your church, as Bethany Baptist Church too, because we're a group of believers that have a lot more to grow. We need to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We need to keep understanding many deeper things that we can't imagine, Lord, about the gospel. It's so simple that a kid can understand it, but it's so deep that we can spend our eternity trying to understand how wonderful you are by giving us your own son. Thank you for this morning, and thank you for everything you are doing through the Holy Spirit in the hearts of your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon from Bethany. We invite you to worship together with us on Sundays. For more information, visit BethanyChicago.org.